Cash and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge issued a temporary injunction against the Trump administration's buyout for federal employees.
For the moment, the buyout plan remains in limbo. At a hearing Monday, Boston-based federal judge George O'Toole said he would leave his temporary stay in place until he decides whether to impose an injunction. Federal workers' unions have sued to block the buyout, arguing the president has no legal authority to offer payouts through September, with agency funding currently set to run out next month.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. President Trump expected to sign off on imposing 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports as early as today. A busy round of confirmation votes this week in the Senate, including Director of Intelligence nominee Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. to lead Health and Human Services. Your 2 cents worth may become a thing of the past. President Trump calling on the Mint to stop production of the penny, saying it's wasteful and costs more to make the 1 cent coin. Plenty of pennies remain in circulation. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Gas prices are inching their way upward. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has the story.
Average gas prices are up 4.3 cents from last week for an average of $2.92 today. This is 11.9 cents higher than last month, but 16 cents lower than this time last year. Prices across Wisconsin range from $2.83 to $3.09 today. Crude oil inventories are below the five-year average for this time of year, but domestic crude oil production rose to 13.478 million barrels per day. Gasoline inventories increased slightly in the Midwest, which could cause prices to possibly come down slightly. Overall, gas inventories are slightly above the five-year average for this time of year.
Gas prices are up 3 cents a gallon in Green Bay, averaging $2.89, and in Appleton and Oshkosh, the average is $2.85 a gallon, unchanged from last week. There's a sweet little shop that looks to create joy for families. Anna Moon owns Yeti Yum Sweet Shop with her husband, Michael. She said they started as a cottage business selling at craft fairs and farmers markets, but now have a brick-and-mortar shop selling freeze-dried treats, energy drinks, and cotton candy.
We have a lot of father-daughter dates that come here, mother-son dates. Sometimes at a certain age, like 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, it's difficult to find something fun. And kids love candy. You know, even the adults and the teenagers, and with 15 different samples or more, it's, you always get a smile on their face no matter how old they are.
See our story at WISS.FM for more on this sweet shop in Oshkosh. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in New Orleans, where the Eagles beat the Chiefs 40-22. Linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer, Wisconsin, and former Badger intercepted a pass just before the half that set up another Eagles touchdown.
When I'm relaxing with my family in Wisconsin, I'm going to think about where I came from, what I did, and where I'm going.
The Chiefs denied the chance to be the first team to win three Super Bowls in a row, quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I can't turn the ball over early in the game when it's not going our way, and I'll have to learn from that and try to be better the next opportunity that I hopefully get.
NBA, the Bucks with a win at home, 135-127 over the 76ers. Damian Lillard with a season-high 43 points.
I think I hit my first two threes, so, you know, obviously that's a good sign. You know, you hit those couple threes, it feel good. You see the ball go in early. The ball was moving. It was just a good flow to the game, so I felt good because of the flow of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning. Clouds will gradually increase as we make our way into the afternoon today. Our high right around 21. Tonight, some light snow after midnight, 3 above for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine 15 by Wednesday morning. 1 below with some snow on Wednesday at a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Ingram.
How will the most recent attacks on federal programs affect everyday Americans here in Wisconsin? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams coming up on the next show.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Happy Monday. You can be a part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. We're so efficient. We are here like minutes ready to go.
The soundboard was set 3 full minutes before this show. It's unheard of.
That's how we do it. And another great lineup as well today. It's Monday. That means Harvey K., our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin. Green Bay, he's going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get all into it with Harvey. Looking forward to that conversation. And lots of issues, lots of things going on around the state of Wisconsin. We'll get to that as well. But we got to start out, man. It's Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. And I got to tell you, it took me a little bit to get moving today. The mind was just slow. And
were you feeling any aches?
I wasn't out late. Some people were. Yeah,
some people were.
I saw a headline. Before we get to the headline, watching the game last night. And I was at a house party, and everybody, including me, as we first got there, were taking a poll. What do people think? Who do you want to win? And everybody was rooting for the Eagle, for the underdog. Oh, it's like, oh, the Eagles are winning. We don't want KC to take the Green Bay Packers, you know, 3 in a row Super Bowl. So as they got over, we're hanging out, and I was like, well, you know, everyone's rooting for the same team. That's no fun. I'll take $20 on Kansas City. Well, this is a friendly bet for some folks. It was a hangout, and I'll root against them. So every time, and it was, if you watch the game, the Eagles was manhandled. It was not even close. So there wasn't a whole lot for me to cheer against. Maybe a penalty here and there. I mean, it felt a lot like rooting for the Lions over the years. So, I'm used to rooting for and betting on the losers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
So you had to be a contrarian, yes. As is your nature. You had, you had to go against.
It's a little, gotta have a little fun, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
No trash talking if everyone's rooting for the
but
same team.
But you lost
team.
A little money, too. Nah.
Well, the good news is I bugged out before the end of the game. So
you didn't have to see it.
That's right. I'll pay you next time I see you. but it was good fun. Thank you, Canadian Rob, for hosting. I had a lot of fun last night. Did you watch the game?
I did not. Not at all.
Don't care.
Not even a little.
No. Steph didn't either. She's like, and we're out Friday. We're out Saturday. And she's like, done people. And I'm done. We're hanging out. So she did watch the Puppy Bowl, though.
Well, that's the important one.
It was just cute. 855-752-4842. So the question then, when I got up this morning, instead of reviewing the headlines, Axios jumps out at me. I didn't believe it. I could not believe it. It seemed outrageous to me. 22.6 million employees will likely catch the Super Bowl flu.
That's a crazy number.
The what? I'm like, what? Yeah, the Super Bowl flu, also known as Super Sick Monday, news to me, is poised to strike again, with the UKG Workforce Institute estimating that 22.6 million employees will miss work the Monday after the Chiefs and Eagles face off. That breaks the previous record of 18.1 million in 2003, also a Chiefs-Eagles matchup.
Ooh.
According to Axios, or the article here, this is what they how they break it down. 3.2 million will call in sick.
Okay.
3.2 will ghost their employer on Monday. What does that mean? I'm not going to quit. I'm just not going to go anymore. Oh, okay. Another 12.9 have already taken a pre-approved day off. Those are the responsible ones. Mm-hmm. I am not that. Here I am.
But no, you're here. You're even more responsible than
Very responsible. Another 4.8 million say they will swap shifts with coworkers so they don't have to work on Monday. An additional 12.9 million plan to go into work late Monday. And 8 million are undecided.
Undecided.
I mean, it's a late game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that late, though. But let's see. The other side, there is a, although there is a record number of absences expected, the survey shows an increased transparency among employees, people, managers, and the organization this year. Like, they're done lying about it. Like, yeah, hey, just so you know. I'm gonna be sick. I feel cold, like coming.
I got a little tickle. I know it's coming on. I don't want to get it.
I feel like
sick.
I'm gonna be sick. Food poisoning is not Super Bowl flu, said my buddy Scott. Yeah, man. I ate the same stuff you did, though. I feel all right, man. 22 million people. Does that seem high to me? I mean, 22.6.
That's a lot of people.
And that doesn't go into those that are like slow walking it. Like, okay, I'm gonna come in late.
That's gonna be over 10% of the workforce.
Right. We're just gonna take a little. I'm just gonna be slower today. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read a little slower. I'm gonna move a little slower. I'm drinking a lot of coffee to keep it going. 22.6 million people. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We'll get into callers. We see you. We will be getting to you in just a moment. I want to throw out a couple of the local topics here first. Stupid Chiefs.
Wisconsin. They did it just to spite you, Dom.
Of course they did. Well, it wasn't terrible to see them lose, considering, you know, who predicted them to win.
Right.
Yeah, the orange guy was rooting for the red team. Let's see, I guess ABC, WISN, the good WISN.com, Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, Brad Schimmel, said he's running an entirely different campaign compared to fellow conservative Daniel Kelly, who lost by 11 points to Janet Justice Protasiewicz 2 years ago. Yeah, isn't he using the AI to change around the smiling Susan Crawford? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything about that.
So Schimmel and Crawford on the upfront. Again, that's an ABC outfit. You can check them out on the Sundays. They do a fine job interviewing some of the locals. And they got Schimmel and Susan Crawford this time around. So I haven't heard the, I've read the articles, haven't heard the song yet. Let's start with Schimmel.
Sure.
Schimmel, as mentioned in last week's show, Hagedorn has recused from the Act 10 lawsuit. Now, Justice Hagedorn worked for Scott Walker and was instrumental in making Act 10. Said he will recuse. Let's see what Schimmel had to say about that. Cut one, please.
There's a ton of big issues before the court and likely more to come. Justice Hagedorn recently announced he's going to recuse himself from the case involving Act 10. Did he make the right decision on that?
You know, only he can know that. There are certain circumstances where a judicial official must recuse. If you have a personal stake or your immediate family has a personal stake in this, like you stand to gain or lose money based on the outcome, you must recuse. Otherwise, it becomes a personal judgment call. Justice Hagedorn made that assessment and concluded that based on the history he has, he couldn't in this case. So I would say then, yes, it is the right decision. If you make that searching of your conscience and that's where you land, then yes, you should get out of the case.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Well, he didn't screw that one up. At least not that cut.
But should that... Is that not the softest of softballs to say this justice has already recused himself? did he do the right thing?
No, hell no, he didn't do the right thing. If I get on the car, I'll never recuse
myself.
That's right. Brad Schimmel on the Upfront, ABC at WISN.com. Check that out. Last week, as reported, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign filed an ethics complaint against Schimmel, accusing him of asking donors for money during private comments that were later made public.
I remember hearing that.
Ramos, executive director of the same said Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, was on our show last week. We did get into that. Thank you, Nick, for your efforts. Let's hear. He was asked, Schimmel was asked about this on the Upfront. Let's play cut number two, please.
I want to quickly give you a chance to respond to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign complaint that they filed against you this past week. The Journal Sentinel published some comments. It sounds like you were talking to supporters, making some jokes about how you're asking for support. You said begging people, please consider getting involved or supporting my race. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says, well, you're breaking the judicial code by asking for money. Did you break the judicial code?
No, I wasn't making any solicitation that day, and I don't. I don't ask people for money. I'm not supposed to do that, and I don't. What I was doing was I was drawing the contrast between how money comes in. Because the Liberal candidate, they get in the race and there's a national fundraising machine that they flip the switch on and money comes pouring in. So I was drawing that comparison for people to understand how different the work is for us. But I wasn't asking anybody to make the donations.
You were literally talking about getting your knee pads at Menards. You know, what are you talking? He said, I'm begging people for money. So the words that came out of your mouth, Judge Schimmel, are, you know, contrast what you're saying right there.
He was just begging people, please consider getting involved financially.
And if you tap out of your $20,000, you can just go give all that money as much as you want to the party, and they can direct it to me. Although you cannot force them to direct it, but you know you can give it to them as much as you want.
Right?
Yeah. Well done. All right. What else? We got one more from Judge Schimmel on recusing from a case concerning abortion. Now we heard this last week. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Schimmel. Well, he says what? 1856, 1859, whatever. 1849. Wow, thank you. That's fine. Totally fine. Totally constitutional. And if this Supreme Court, if it comes up and is ruled unconstitutional, well, that's hogwash. That's a problem. Would he recuse himself? I wonder. Cut number three, please.
There's another abortion case still in the pipeline. That one, they haven't had arguments on it yet, so that might still be lingering. I don't know. Those cases are all going to be out there.
And you would stay on the bench in that abortion case, the Planned Parenthood case?
There's no, you know, the United States Supreme Court put this decision, recognized that this decision belongs in the hands of the voters. And I respect the will of the voters.
Do you, though?
Well, then I look forward to him ruling in favor of bodily autonomy, because that is what the voters have said they wanted.
Certainly the polling does, but, you know, the voters. And again, he'll be up for election. It's coming up April.
April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
Yep.
April 1st.
Nope. Let's not elect
vote.
A fool.
Don't vote for the fool. Vote for Susan Crawford. We're going to hear some sound of her next. Do we have any time for this?
Not in this segment.
All right. So, folks, stick around. Get to your calls as well. 855-752-4842. The Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice candidates on ABC's Upfront yesterday. Got a little more highlights from Susan Crawford. She's been on several of the shows here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can go to civicmedia.us and search for those podcasts. You want to hear more about Crawford on Upfront. She was there yesterday. We will play some of those highlights. And then the National Institutes of Health, another organization, a target from this administration. Well, they want to slash and burn the money. We know what's going on with the administration. Well, how does that impact Wisconsin? How does that impact the university? How does that impact you? We'll get into that next as well. And also, don't forget, we have our pal, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. Your calls could be next, 855-752-4842.
Kissed. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After 22 years as a commissioner and chair of the Federal Election Commission, Ellen Weintraub was purportedly sacked by President Donald Trump with this terse sentence: "You are hereby removed as a member of the Federal Election Commission, effective immediately." But as with several of Trump's recent actions, it's not legal. Weintraub may have made Trump's enemies list when she and another commissioner issued a statement in 2021 after the FEC's three Democrats and three Republicans deadlocked, subsequently dropping the campaign finance violation complaint resulting from Trump's $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Weintraub and then FEC Chair Shayna Broussard said after the dismissal, "The commission therefore did not have enough votes to pursue well-grounded charges that the former president of the United States knowingly and willfully accepted contributions nearly 5,000% over the legal limit to suppress a negative story mere days before Election Day." The Campaign Legal Center's Trevor Potter, himself a former FEC chair, said in a statement, "In claiming to fire a commissioner of the Federal Election Commission, the president violates the law, the separation of powers, and generations of Supreme Court precedent. As the only agency that regulates the president, Congress intentionally did not grant the president the power to fire FEC commissioners." In a post on X, Weintraub vowed to continue her work on the commission. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
When the choir starts singing.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy Super Sick Monday to all you, 22.6 million folks that skipped out one way or another after watching the Super Bowl last night. And real quick, before I move back into Judge Susan Crawford's interview at Upfront yesterday, when I read the like, wow, that's a lot of people, up from 18 million from the year before. Then I got on the road today. And the roads were empty, right? Yeah. It was like noticeable.
Uh-huh.
It was,
absolutely.
It was so, I guess I believe the study.
Yeah, I suppose so. Now, great, I also do know a lot of people who genuinely have the flu right now, so I don't know how much that's playing into it, and I have to imagine that there's actually, you know, quite a bit of the Super Bowl flu as well.
I'm not going to quit. I'm just not going to go anymore. 855-752-4842. Judge Susan Crawford on the Upfront. She's been on several of the shows here on the Civic Media Radio Network as well, being asked questions regarding recusal. A lot of recusals going on.
A lot of recusal questions in recent interviews.
Let's hear this question, her answer from Upfront. Should Justice Protasiewicz recuse from Act 10? Cut number one, please.
Justice Hagedorn recently recused himself from the lawsuit involving Act 10.
Yeah.
Republicans are also asking Justice Protasiewicz to do the same. Do you think she should recuse herself from that case?
You know, I guess what I would say is that I expect Justice Protasiewicz to do exactly what the law requires in this situation, which is to closely look at the facts and the parties in the case and the legal issue that is being raised, and to apply the law as found in the judicial code, and to make her own determination about whether she believes she can be fair and impartial in that case. That's what I do when I'm asked to recuse from a case, or if I spot an issue in a case that I think might warrant some consideration of recusal. You know, I look at what the facts are and make a determination based on the law. And that's what I think she should do. And it's not my position or anybody else's to tell her how to reach that conclusion.
A similar answer, I guess, in some ways, to the question that Schimmel had regarding Hagedorn. What about Crawford herself? Would she recuse? Let's hear cut number two, please.
Would you recuse yourself from any cases involving Act 10?
I would engage in the analysis that I just mentioned. I think it's really important to do that on a case-by-case basis. And again, just to maintain impartiality, I would have to not make that decision until I had conducted that full analysis. So I'm not going to announce in advance how I would decide such issues. That's part of the decision-making process in a case.
Even though your firm, you used to work for represented teachers in a lawsuit looking to overturn it.
That's true, and that's work I'm proud of. I represented public school teachers in a legal challenge to Act 10. I was in court fighting for their rights in the workplace after the government took them away. Act 10, the public, I think, kind of tends to think of it as like one uniform thing. It was a 50-page long bill that changed many different provisions of the Wisconsin statutes. So if there were another case presented to me involving some part of Act 10, I would look at which part is being challenged there, who are the parties bringing that action, and is that a case that I can be fair and impartial on, a case where I have not previously taken a position on the specific issue being raised.
So she'll ponder it. Mm-hmm. I bet she's not getting out of that one. And the money in the race. Now, we kind of gave Schimmel a pass on this when we played his quote. It was like, oh, you know, the Democratic machine. I'm just letting them know. When I asked about his begging, you know, his wearing of the knee pads from Menards to go out. And it was these recordings were released and Wisconsin Democracy Campaign files an ethics complaint. And hey, and Schimmel's, oh, no, I would never do that. I don't do that. I didn't do it that day. I never do it. I don't do that. But he did it. He said it. Now, he made it, may have been joking, whatever the case was. But he
interesting
talked,
joke.
Big joke, yeah. But he talks about the outside money. All the Dems, all you do is, you know, turn on the spigot. Well, come on, man. Yeah. Like the Republicans don't have the same thing. The money in the race was a question. A little bit longer cut here. Let's hear it. Cut number three here is Judge Crawford.
As you know, there's a ton of money being pumped into this campaign, and there will be over the next 7 weeks. Republicans recently have been criticizing you for attending a recent briefing with Democratic donors.
Yeah.
The subject of that invitation was chance to put two more House seats in play for 2026. Now that all of this is public, would you attend that same briefing again with donors?
Yeah, you know, for that particular group, there was a Zoom meeting. I entered that meeting, introduced myself, told the group a bit about the race. I did not comment on anything related to the congressional maps. That's not a topic I have commented on either publicly or privately in any sense. And then I left the meeting. And groups like that, organizations like that, have the issues that they care about, that they want to talk about amongst themselves. They have a First Amendment right to have those kinds of discussions on the issues they care about. It's not up to me to set their agenda.
Did you know that was the subject or the premise of the meeting before you entered it?
I don't believe I did. I hadn't seen the email, and I wasn't part of the meeting at which they discussed that issue at all.
Republicans say that you're attempting to sell congressional seats to raise funds from Democratic billionaires.
It's ridiculous. It is an absolutely ridiculous assertion. And I told that group what I tell every group that I appear in front of, which is that I am pledging to be a fair and impartial justice.
Pledging to be a fair and impartial justice. You know, the Republicans are going to want to do everything they can to try and get her to recuse or get her to do something along those lines. Again, Crawford, just like Schimmel, are going to have to use their own judgment whatever process they have to determine those things. But again, given the circumstance of, especially when you compare it to someone like Schimmel, who talked multiple times about his knee pads and begging for money, her jumping on a Zoom after the fact. I mean, come on, talk about conspiracy theory. What she's selling congressional seats as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice candidate? How does that work? It's a whole different branch of government.
It doesn't
okay
work.
Well, you know, the billionaires and
right
they should know something about the billionaires, those Republicans. They got one running their doji, and you know, president in waiting, Musk. Anyway, we'll get to more, just a couple more, of Judge Crawford on Upfront, WISN local ABC affiliate from yesterday, and also the National Institutes of Health. If Donald Trump is going to cut funding, how much do you think would be cut at the University of Wisconsin-Madison? It's a lot. Come back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced a $100 million investment in rural road infrastructure. According to a press release, the funding through the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program will support 55 projects across the state and will target aging local roads that serve as transportation corridors for the state's agricultural industry. The program can offer reimbursement of up to 90% of the total cost for eligible projects, which include repairs for roads and bridges used by the agricultural producers. The State Assembly's Education Committee heard public comments last week on bills relating to curriculum, assessment programs, and school board spending. Brittany Merlot has the story.
Assembly Bill 4 would require civics to be implemented in school curriculum in both public and private schools in elementary and high school grades. They want to teach students about their rights and responsibilities in both Wisconsin and the United States. Also, the process of advocating before government bodies and officials, and knowledge of other nations' government philosophies, like communism and socialism as it compares to democracy. High school students are already required by law to earn a certain number of credits to graduate, and this includes at least 3 credits of social studies. They also need to pass a civics test similar to that of the U.S. citizenship test.
State Superintendent Jill Underley says they have strengthened civics curriculum over the last few years. And while she supports the intent of the legislation, she wants to have further discussions about funding for training and materials if they want to add more requirements. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversations. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Conrad Krieger. Top Gun fans are hoping for a third film, but actor Miles Teller told Stephen Colbert he has not heard any updates. The Top Gun 2 actor who plays Rooster in the film did tell the talk show host that he has made one demand of the film star's Tom Cruise. If there is a third film, Teller wants some warning so he has time to get in shape. Ideally, 1 month per ab, so a total of 6 months. Rumors that the third film was in development have not been confirmed. Demi Moore is nominated for a Best Actress for her role in The Substance, an impressive achievement for someone who was labeled a popcorn actress years ago by producer. Moore talked about her Golden Globe acceptance speech on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, where she mentioned the producer's prediction. Kimmel asked her if she thought the producer, who has since passed away, heard her speech. Moore said, "He's probably rolling over in his grave. Revenge is a dish best served when the other person is still alive, but I'm sure it still feels good." For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny this morning. Clouds will gradually increase as we make our way into the afternoon today. Our high right around 21. Tonight, some light snow after midnight, 3 above for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine 15 by Wednesday morning, 1 below with some snow on Wednesday at a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, do you think what Trump is doing is actually working? I'm going to break it all down about the real strategy and how it will impact you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy Super Sick Monday, all you Super Bowlers out there calling in sick. 22.6 million roads are empty today. See the tumbleweed blowing around.
Hey, I appreciated the commute.
It was a little easier
today. Didn't have anyone riding up my butt.
855-752-4842. Wrapping up a little bit of sound, Judge Susan Crawford, one of the candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court Justice. That election starts, I guess, goes off April 1st. Coming up real quick, folks. If you haven't seen the attack ads, you're probably not watching television.
Correct.
We have a couple more cuts from Susan Crawford on her interview. ABC's Upfront over the weekend. Planned Parenthood endorsed her. She defended the teachers against Act 10. I mean, I'm already down, man. Mm-hmm. Go, Susan. Let's hear what she had to say about Planned Parenthood. Cut number four, if you would, please, Jess.
Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin has endorsed your campaign. Yes. In the endorsement, they said that you've, quote, protected access to reproductive health care. Did you commit to them, or do you commit to them that you will do that as a justice?
Yeah, no, I did not. And I would never make any kind of promise to any organization like that to, you know, deliver some kind of result. At the same time, I am, I'm proud of the work that I did as a lawyer. In our courts, fighting for people's rights, including Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors to protect their right to deliver health care services to women without having to be in fear of felony prosecution for doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, yeah. Judge Crawford. We appreciate that. Up front, they asked her, would she recuse herself on the abortion case? Cut number five, please.
You represented Planned Parenthood.
I did.
Do you think that you should recuse yourself from any case involving abortion?
I do not. I think that it is important in any case that comes before the court to make those determinations about whether I can be fair and impartial based on what the particular facts are, what the particular legal challenge might be in a case like that, and to make a decision based on whether I can be impartial in that particular case. The law does not require judges to automatically recuse just because they have done some kind of legal work in the past as a lawyer, but I am committed to only hearing cases and only sitting on cases where I believe I can be fair and impartial.
Once again, Judge Crawford on ABC's Upfront over the weekend. I believe we have one more cut from Susan Crawford regarding voter ID. Let's hear cut number six, please, Jess.
The state's voter ID law will also be before voters on the April 1st ballot. I'm curious, will you vote to enshrine the state's law into the Constitution?
You know, I am not going to say how I personally would vote because I don't want to influence other voters. I really think it's important that voters be able to make their own choices. And I'm a judge. I'm really not a politician. And it's not my place to tell voters how to vote on something like that. I think that voters should consider the fact that, you know, we need to have safe and secure elections, and we need a system where all qualified voters can exercise their right to cast a ballot and to make their own decisions about whether that provision should pass or not.
Judge Susan Crawford on ABC's Upfront over the weekend. Thank you, Judge Crawford. Thank you, Jess. Splicing all that up and playing it for our audience. Mm-hmm. Played a little Schimmel earlier, folks. You know what to do. That's all I got to say. You know what to do. Voting on April 1st, the election. Early vote starts before that. 855-752-4842. All right, so that's the Wisconsin Supreme Court justice race. Now let's get back to some of the other issues that, you know, start out in Washington that end up impacting us right here.
Isn't that wild?
It's weird how that all works. Yeah. It started off for me. I saw the headline in Axios: 22 states sue to halt NIH research funding cuts. Attorneys general from 22 states sued the Trump administration Monday seeking to freeze a plan that would cap National Institutes of Health payments covering overhead at universities and medical research centers. You know, these guys are going after stuff. I'm like, really, this is now in our lingo. This is what we have to worry about now. But we'll get into some of the details on. Now, according to Axios, billions of dollars in cuts and in two new and existing grants could lead to layoffs, disrupt clinical trials, shutter laboratories, the state's charged in the U.S. District Court in Massachusetts. The state's charged the administration acted in an arbitrary and capricious way by not explaining the basis for the cap. It also it said the move also violated a 2018 law governing NIH spending that forbade the federal health department or NIH from developing or implementing a modified approach reimbursing the so-called indirect costs for biomedical research. So then, of course, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Wisconsin. Oh yeah, Wisconsin's in there. Hope Carnot reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Oh yeah, we did. The University of Wisconsin-Madison, one of the nation's top research institutions. Well, now if Trump gets his way with it, says the National Institutes of Health funding cuts will significantly disrupt vital research activity and delay life-saving discoveries and cures for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and more. And more. 22 states, as mentioned, have filed a lawsuit. Now, previously, let's talk about the funding. Now, the NIH announced on Friday, that would cap funding for indirect costs, mainly facilities and administration, at 15% for new and existing research awards beginning Monday. Now, previously, that funding averaged about 30%, but some universities receive as much as 60% coverage of indirect costs. The NIH says the new rate is more in line with how private research foundations fund indirect costs. According to the court filings on Monday, the rate is 55.5% for UW-Madison,
holy
covering 26%
God.
Of administrative costs and 29.5% of facility costs. UW-Madison would lose around, here's a number, folks, this is what it breaks down to, $65 million in funding this year.
Oh, jeez.
This year, according to the complaint, and result in a similar reduction in resources each year. $65 million.
Is that to UW total, or is that to UW School of Medicine and Public Health?
UW-Madison.
Okay, so that's to the school as a total or to their medical school specifically?
I would have to say to the school as a total because that's they don't specify. Okay. Yeah, at least in the journal here, Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnot reporting. Now, in a statement, the White House spokesman said, contrary to the hysteria, redirecting billions of allocated NIH spending away from administrative bloat means there will be more money and resources available for legitimate research, not less, quote unquote, legitimate research. The Trump administration is committed to slashing the cottage industry built off the waste, fraud, and abuse within our mammoth government while prioritizing the needs of everyday Americans. Are you sure about that? Now, the NIH funding is UW-Madison's largest source of federal support, the university said, and so-called indirect costs support many aspects of the educational research work of the university. That includes utility charges, building out research labs and infrastructure for clinical trials of new treatment, the university said. The reductions will have an inevitable impact on undergraduate and medical students' ability to engage in research. Medical innovation will be slowed, delaying the creation of new treatments, new technologies, and new health workers. A drastic reduction to this funding will not only disrupt the day-to-day important work of the university, but will ultimately harm the livelihoods of real people across Wisconsin and the country, harm the innovation economy, and will make our nation less competitive, In 2023, NIH provided $35 billion for more than 300,000 researchers at more than 2,500 universities, medical schools, and other research institutions. About $26 billion of that went to direct research costs, $9 billion supported indirect costs. Again, indirect costs being what? Building out laboratory, utility charges, infrastructure for clinical trials, and so forth. You kind of got to have all of that. You know what I'm saying? You got to have all of that. It's not just, you know, a Bunsen burner and a couple of test tubes.
You know, right. I mean? It takes a lot to have medicine work. There are a lot of hands involved. There are a lot of procedures involved. And yes, it takes significant administration. It takes significant organization.
In a statement, a Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin said, quote, Elon Musk and Donald Trump are finding every which way they can to cut programs and funding that Wisconsin families in Wisconsin rely on. Abruptly slashing this funding will mean people might not get the treatments they are relying on. Workers from custodians to research trainees to scientists are likely to be laid off and will be further away from finding the cures to diseases that plague all of our families. Other institutions, including the Medical College of Wisconsin, Marquette University, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Marshfield Clinic Research Institute, will also be impacted by the NIH funding cuts, according to Senator Baldwin. Baldwin called the NIH's actions illegal, arguing the bill she helped write that funds the NIH, quote, explicitly prohibits NIH from taking this arbitrary action, as we referenced that in the Axios piece as well. Shocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shocking
mm-hmm.
they're going to do something like
shocking.
That. Well, when you have a law against that, we'll do it anyway.
Mm.
And we'll get to it. I mean, what if happens, and we'll get to this as well. Apparently, there's been some judgments, and the White House has not really been followed a whole lot, or at least making excuses why they are not. Real impact here, folks. I mean, did you, if you're a Republican out there, if you're MAGA, did you vote for Donald Trump thinking he's going to slash the NIH?
Yeah. Is this what you voted for? Did you vote for research being slashed? Did you vote for cancer research, diabetes research, chronic illness research being cut and gutted?
And what, $65 million to the University of Wisconsin, I believe the article said. And that was just here in Wisconsin. Also, the Mayo Clinic, according to the Minnesota Reformer, they could lose $54 million.
And it's worth noting that in America, we have a severe physician shortage. We have a severe healthcare professional shortage. Is this how we fix that?
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I mean, and again, the money's already been allocated by Congress. They have a law that they're not supposed to do this. They can't impound the money. Mm-hmm. And they made that law after Nixon. They also made a specific law, according to Senator Baldwin, that they can't play these games with the NIH. But they're going to do it anyway. And they're pushing all the buttons just to see what they can get away with. 855-752-4842. Let's go with Mark from the SAC. You're next. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Yeah, as a cancer survivor who benefited from treatment I received at UW-Madison, their Carbone Cancer Center, and I don't know if it was the treatment I got was experimental, but I benefited from experimental treatments in the past. And I'm still here. I mean, in November of 19, they told me, well, if you've got 6 months, and here it's 5 years later, and I'm still around, and that cutting this kind of funding is just idiotic. I mean, the diseases we could cure and doing the research to cure, we've only found that out by spending gobs of money, but what is a life worth? I mean, I'm, putting my FCC compliance filter on.
Yeah, Mark,
right,
thank
now.
You.
But I mean, it's just ridiculous that these guys have more money than Crocius. They could never spend the amount of money they have. All it is putting a little bit, a few more coins in the diving pool, like the old Scrooge McDuck thing, where in the cartoons where he was swimming through his pile of money.
I mean, yeah, you can't dive into piles of gold because they're actually like rocks. It hurts. It doesn't work that way.
Right,
thank you for the call, Mark. Let's keep going. 855-752-4842. What? Andrew. We got Andrew. Andrew from Detroit. You're next. Welcome, Andrew. What do you got for us?
Hey, first of all, I'm so glad Mark from the SAC is still with us.
Yes, absolutely.
That is wonderful news. As far as Judge Crawford, she sounds like a wonderful jurist. If you have no use for her over there, we can use her over here.
You can't have her in a room.
My big deal here today is if these red hats want to continue thinking we're going to test the laws and we're going to break the laws where we want to, I think the blue states should say in response, we're not going to pay the taxes to the federal government anymore.
Thank you, Andrew. We've got to get to a break here. I certainly appreciate it. There should be pushback. I don't know how that would actually work, just, you know, keeping your funds. But I think there's going to be some blowback. I talked to Meg Dawn earlier in the day. You know, there are red hats, as you called them, Andrew, are going to be impacted. And I think that some of these things are going to flow down to them. And they're not going to want the pain. And they're not going to want what this administration is doing. And I think Donald Trump was overreaching a little bit. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Your calls are next.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Welcome back to the Creep Show, 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. You folks lighting it up on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text there as well. Just a little bit more here. We talked about this NIH funding going to be cut and capped on some of these costs at 15%. And we know that, as the reporting says, some of that's up to 50% coming to University of Madison. Lots of money. $65 million could be cut this year if this goes through to the University of Madison. Also referencing University of Minnesota and the Mayo Clinic as well. We talked about the Mayo Clinic losing about $54 million should this go in. But also the University of Minnesota lose around $62 million in funding. Now, according to the Minnesota Reformer, the NIH website lists more than 659 University of Minnesota projects funded by the grants fiscal year 2024, include research into organ transplants, elderly patients' ability to fight off infection, prevalence of blood cancers in Minnesota, Parkinson's disease treatments, treatments for certain types of cancer. Also, degenerative brain disease, breast cancer, osteoporosis, kidney disease, and diabetes. You know, kind of things that we need to spend money on to try to cure, right? Mm-hmm.
Didn't Trump run on a partial platform of, you know, tackling chronic illness? I seem to remember that being slipped in there.
There was a word about that as well, but that was so long ago.
I know.
So many, promises, so little time. Yeah, he also said on day one, Ukraine war is going to end and the cost of eggs are going to come down. 855-752-4842. Susan, you are next. Welcome, Susan. What do you got for us?
I was just going to mention that the UW-Madison actually was the organization through NIH grants that got the UW solution, which actually helps the preservation of organs so they can be perfused and be used over long journeys. Back in the day, I worked in organ transplant procurement, and they used to only have a limited number of hours in order to transplant these organs.
Right.
Through the UW's research, they were able to do that. And the other thing is that so many babies are born with cardiac anomalies where either they don't live long after birth or they need immediate surgery. So anybody who's pro-life would not want to have those babies die just because they couldn't get the new research. They couldn't use the newest in the research regarding pediatric cardiac, you know, fixing the heart.
Sure.
So anyway,
yeah. Susan, so there's actual return on the investment, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's not just wasting money. And I know that's what they're trying to look at. They claim everything is a waste of money, but when you break it down, you know, how do you quantify? How do you gauge whether or not the money being spent by NIH is valued and getting a return or getting some sort of production out of? You know what I'm saying? I'd like to know that instead of just saying, "Hey, we're just going to cut this." And oh yeah, University of Madison, you're waxed by 65%. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Dom.
Hey,
I'm sure there's government waste. I mean, in fact, there's known government waste. But to arbitrarily just go in and start hacking good programs or go in with a sledgehammer and just start tearing all this stuff down without first looking at things, there's places to cut, I'm sure. But when you start talking health care and some of these good programs, it just doesn't make any sense. I've all but given up now on the Trump administration, by the way. I mean, I just don't see anything good becoming of it. But at any rate, my point is that look at programs. If there's waste, fine. But don't start slashing and burning good programs. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Wisco. And, I mean, you got to go after big-ticket items, right? What, you got to bet big to win big, right, Wisco? But, again, there's also going to be folks that are pushing back, and 22 attorneys general pushing back on this particular one again. The courts are going to be really busy
really,
these next couple
really,
of years.
Really busy.
Jack from Racine, you are next. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Thank you. Well, and let's remember that the reason for this pain, as he puts it, and it will be literally with the medical research hurt in our country, is that because he had a huge tax break for wealthy people of $3 trillion in 2017. That was supposed to sunset and end in 2025, but he wants to hold it over and continue it, and to reduce their taxes further for people who make over about $400,000 or $500,000 a year. And most of it goes to people who are in the top 1% or less. So that's why this is all happening. And Elon Musk wants another tax break.
Yeah, Jack, we have to remember why we got here, right? And certainly, listen, you can't go and try to reduce spending unless you look at some things. You know, I understand that. But it seems to me kind of arbitrary, and especially going after, like, the NIH. I mean, these are kind of longer-term investments. They take time. They're complex. You know, you don't want, you know, be able to go out and pull the money just because you don't like what the research might be doing or you just see a big number on a spreadsheet. That's why we have this impoundment rule after Nixon. That's why we have this NIH law that Senator Baldwin apparently helped write that says they can't just do these things willy-nilly. If you go into an organization and say, oh, yeah, University of Wisconsin, we're gonna take $65 million away. You're not going to get that this year. Mayo Clinic, 50-some million. U of Minnesota, another 60-some million. Yeah, that has a real impact on everything because those are big numbers. Is that what you're trying to do? Are you trying to get rid of research of, you know, cancer cures and Parkinson's? Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We still have that, right? From the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, joins us next.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we'll put the wraps on our current NFL season, along with Sarah Van Wagner and Abby Huntley, the Wellness Command Post.
And Julie Dressing joins us, the Director of Communications, Building for Kids, Family Valentines.
Join us.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A tariff trade war is brewing. President Trump expected to sign off on a 25% tariff for steel and aluminum imports. European Union leaders say they'll issue counter tariffs. ABC's Alexis Christopher says consumers could get stuck with the tab from car parts to soup and nuts and more.
Fizzy drinks, right, carbonated drinks, they use aluminum in their cans. Those prices would most likely go up as they did during his first administration. Also, think about household items like pots and pans, also sporting equipment like golf clubs made of aluminum, bats for baseball made of aluminum. So there are lots of different areas.
A federal judge in Rhode Island today formally blocking the Trump administration's freeze on federal funding, ordering all federal funding be restored immediately, saying it appears the Trump administration is in violation of his earlier temporary injunction. And another federal judge today temporarily paused the federal employee buyout offer. This is ABC News.